Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This verse reminds me of my mother telling us that my grandfather had to correct her. As part of the process, he used to take the Bible and ordain her to read Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. She would skip to verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is funny. But she was using this passage wrongly. Children must submit themselves to their parents in the fear of the Lord by honoring them, which includes full obedience. However, there is one sense when parents also must submit themselves to their children in the fear of God, while using their authority given by God, not provoking them to anger, but raising them up in a dynamic process involving training and admonition of the Lord. First, let's talk about not provoking our children's anger. This passage amazingly addresses to fathers instead of parents. The Greek word pateres means fathers. There are a couple of reasons why Paul addressed to fathers in this verse. First, it doesn't mean that only fathers have obligation to raise children up. We know that both fathers and mothers receive this command in Scripture. For instance, Proverbs mentions fathers and mothers side by side many times in the task of raising up children. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother, Proverbs 10:1. There are many other passages in Proverbs that speaks of father and mother together in their mission to raise up children. If you check out Proverbs 15, verse 20, 17, verse 25, 19, verse 26, 20, verse 20, 23, verse 22, 23, verse 25, you'll see both fathers and mothers mentioned together regarding the task of raising up children. Beyond these verses, the fifth commandment also refers to both father and mother together. Exodus 21:15 and 17, also Psalm 27 verse 10, Ezekiel 22 verse 7 and Zechariah 13 verse 3. Also refer to father and mother together in the mission of raising up their children for the glory of God. The reason Paul addresses to fathers is that they were leaving the duty to raise up children only to their wives. The truth is that men are prone to omit themselves in their duties. That's why Peter recommended husbands to dwell with their wives with understanding. They must participate in the common life at home. Fathers also must change their kids, bathe them, feed them, change the dirty diapers, play, teach math, and watch movies. How many times children come to us, fathers, for help, and we say, "Ask your mother." They do something wrong and we complain to our wives, "Look, your child is doing something wrong. Correct him." Come on, go yourself and do the job. We must stop being omissive and start working with our wives to ease their labors. In order to help fathers to participate in the common life of their homes, first, Paul gives a negative command. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. However, remember that parents, both mothers and fathers, can provoke their children to wrath by several ways. First, doing discipline with excessive rigor. Many parents discipline their children when they are angry. As a result, they don't control their strength and many times they cause severe wounds in their children. Second, fighting in front of them. Parents can disagree, but they must solve their disagreements peacefully in their privacy. When parents have arguments in front of their kids, it causes embarrassment and their anger. Third, when they prefer one child and despise the others. The Bible tells us how tragic was the fact that Esau was Isaac's preferred son, while Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. The conflicts between both Jacob and Esau caused many problems, not only between them, but also between their descendants as well. Fourth, shouting at them. When parents shout at their children, they are not conveying a message of strength. Parents are conveying the truth that they are acting like fools. Fifth, words of discouragement. Children have been tremendously discouraged when their parents never do compliment, but always criticize them. When children are discouraged, they lose hope of doing anything well. Parents always can find something worthy of a compliment in their children. Once finding it, they must encourage their children. Be careful not to discourage your child by comparing him or her with another child more gifted in something. It can be devastating for them. Writing to the Colossians, Paul directly mentioned discouragement as the main danger that results from provoking children to wrath. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Colossians 3:21. Sixth, when parents fail to sacrifice themselves for their children, they provoke their children to wrath. This is a problem because it makes children to feel unwanted. Their parents always fail to watch a performance in school or a soccer match or anything else. They feel that their parents don't care, don't mind, and don't cheer for their success. Celebrate each victory, each approval, each accomplishment. Seventh, being themselves a bad example to their children, mainly while they require their children to be perfect. Many parents are so picky with the way their children behave at the table, but nurture many bad and even sinful habits. The Lord has called us to be wise and benign, an example of holiness and obedience to the Lord. Eighth, by pushing achievement beyond reasonable bounds. In this case, children tend to feel that nothing they will do will be sufficient to please their parents. This is very bad because it can cause a frustrated child even to commit suicide after many disappointing experiences. Ninth, parents provoke their children to wrath by incoherence about faults and correction. When they are incoherent about faults and correction, they provoke their children's wrath. Many parents spank their children when they let a fork fall on the floor, but laugh when they said bad words or don't discipline them when they lie. It will make them think that God's moral laws are irrelevant and that they can do whatever they want, since it will be pleasurable not to God, but to their parents. 10. Not teaching the Bible to their children. Fathers who fail because they don't teach the Bible to their children convey the message that God's things are not important. Instead of leaving a legacy of biblical knowledge, they leave a memory of spiritual weakness to their children. Thus, do not provoke your children's wrath. Probably some parents will notice that they have made many mistakes. How should we fix our errors? First, talk to your children and, if necessary, ask for forgiveness. This is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign that your character is noble. The truly strong is not the one who never admits his failures, but the ones who humbly admit that they are sinners and that they must be perfected. They cause their children to admire them and to follow their example. And now I will talk about bringing up children. After giving a negative command to fathers, Paul gives a positive command, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The process of raising up children is a lovely process itself. The Greek verb ektrepho means to nourish, as a farmer who grows a plant to the point of producing fruits. It involves love. You cannot make a plant grow without care. Well, people usually have pets. I have a boldo. That is a tropical plant with medicinal properties. My boldo is still alive even in a country of a temperate climate because I care for it. I water it. I put plant food. I carefully check the weather forecast so that I may bring it inside during the winter because boldo cannot survive under freezing temperatures. When its leaves wither, I understand that the boldo needs care. Then, after some careful measures, it grows. And similarly, fathers must raise up their children with love and care. Raising children involves a dynamic process that includes both training and admonition. Training is a translation of the Greek word paideia that also means discipline, correction with chastisement. Many states in the USA prohibit parents to spank their children. They have a sound concern with parents that go over the line of the right measure in discipline and spank their children beyond necessary. However, those states don't take the fact that our children are sinners into consideration. They should set parents accountable for committing physical abuse against their children, but should never prevent parents from disciplining their kids. Proverbs affirms, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 22:15. According to this passage, our children are sinful. Giving their children to themselves is the worst thing that parents can do to them. For Proverbs also say, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 29:15. Rod is an interesting object because it can work as both instrument of measure and instrument of discipline. Parents must discipline their children, but they must do this using the rod as the right measure. That's why Solomon wrote, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Literally, "Do not put him to death." Proverbs 19:18. The idea is that parents cannot discipline their children in a moment of anger. Otherwise, they can exaggerate and put their own children to death. It seems exaggerated, but it's not. It happens. Rod is also an instrument of discipline. The Bible tells parents that they must hit their children because of their wrongdoings. "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 23:13-14. People think that beating a child with a rod, that is a stick of wood, is a demonstration of hatred. But Scripture says the opposite. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Proverbs 13:24. The Bible teaches the contrary of what people usually think. They think that they must leave their children alone to show love. However, the Bible tells us that those who don't discipline their children, leaving them alone, are the ones who hate them. Discipline is a gesture of love. As MacArthur said, "Discipline has to do with the overall training of children, including punishment," end of quotation. Correction is not a bad thing because the Word of God speaks of God as a lovely father that uses his rod to discipline his beloved people. Psalm 89:32 says, "Then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." The Lord disciplines his beloved children because he loves them. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Proverbs 3:11 and 12. Similarly, parents who love their children discipline them since the beginning, because they are sinners from the beginning of their lives. I remember when Davi once hit lesion in her face, and he was only 1.5 years old, and then she tried to correct him, but then when she said, "Say I'm sorry to your mom because what you've done was wrong," and then he said very emphatically, he said, "Nope." And then she tried to correct him again, and then he said, "Nope." And then she was very emotional in that situation, and then she couldn't solve that problem. And then I arrived home, and then she told me what happened, and then I started correcting him, saying, you did something wrong. You need to apologize. Say, "I'm sorry, Mom." And then he said, "Nope." And I'll tell you, he knew how to say, "I'm sorry," at that point. And then I had to correct him again and again and again, until after 1.5 hours, he finally said, "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry." And then we all cried together because we finally could persuade him of his wrongdoing and correct him finally. And I'll tell you, in my home, Davi is the one who better learned how to forgive and how to ask for forgiveness. Isn't it wonderful? So correct your children since the beginning of their lives. Many parents choose not to discipline their children, but later they understand that they erred, mainly when they see that their children became people of a bad character. It is painful to correct our children. I understand that. It requires patience, wisdom, and courage. It hurts our souls when we know that we must correct a child. We always tell them, "It hurts me when I have to correct you." They say, "No, it hurts me." It hurts our souls when we know that we must correct a child. We don't want to cause them to suffer, but punishment is necessary to mold their own will. "Correct your son," says the Word of God, "and he will give you rest." Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Proverbs 29:17. How should parents discipline their children? Never discipline your children when you are angry. Once a mother was so angry that she threw what was in her hand against her boy. At that moment, she had a knife. She regretted immediately, but the knife was already traveling through the air until it hit her son's back. Fortunately, it caused a minor wound, but it could have been very serious. Before disciplining your child, verify carefully what happened. Sometimes we have a wrong idea of what occurred. A man once hit her daughter with a leather belt, and a metal point cut her daughter's face near her eye. And he was wrong. She did nothing wrong, but he didn't verify. A remarkable scar in her face always worked as a reminder for him that he must be careful not to be unjust. It's a powerful reminder that we must be wise about the way we correct our children. Confront your child with the Bible. Many parents complain that they have no authority over their children. You can start developing your authority by using the Bible to confront your child's sins. Read the passage that condemns your child's behavior. But look, if you want to use the Bible, you need to know the Bible, and you need to know passages that will condemn things that the children usually do as wrong things. For example, lying, stealing something, selfishness, and other problems. This is the law. Then offer the gospel. Tell your child that if he or she repents, the Lord forgives. So we need to use both the law to confront and the gospel to encourage. If necessary, use a stick, but leave it in a place far from your child's room. Because while you go to pick up the stick to correct your child, certainly you will calm down. Then the process of disciplining your child will be painful to you, but correct your child anyway. Think of the benefits for he or she that you will build in him or in her the character of Christ. The second dynamic aspect of the process of raising up children is admonition. Admonition is a translation of the Greek word nothesia that literally means putting in mind, calling attention to, or a mild warning. And it involves encouraging and teaching. This is interesting because we usually spend a lot of time correcting something wrong in our children, but just a little time teaching them what's right in order to prevent them from errors. Teach your children. Spend time talking with them. Invite them to walk. Go to a diner. Go to any place where you can have a deep conversation. Give them the right direction. The Word of God compares our children to arrows in the hand of a warrior. I believe that there are two reasons for that comparison. And now I need to do a citation here because Fernando told me this when he baptized Laura. And I found it so interesting that I kept it in my heart. First, they are compared as arrows in the hand of a warrior because the warrior gives direction to the arrow. Thus, parents must also give direction to their children, and they do this by nourishing them in a dynamic process involving both training and admonition. Second, because the arrow departs from the hand of a warrior, as well as our children one day will depart from our home. My heart hurts when I think of my children leaving our home and going somewhere to live and constitute his or her own family. What should we do? Should I try to avoid this and keep them with me forever? No, absolutely. I can give them direction, a Christian worldview. With the right direction, it doesn't matter what they decide to do or where they will live. They will seek the glory of God. And this is really important. If I nourish them in the training and admonition of the Lord Himself will be glorified regardless the circumstances. Amen.